Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It's a blessing to be here and to have this opportunity to come this way. It's a little bit bad weather outside, but it's still a nice day and good to be alive and breathing. And, you know, we've always got a lot to be thankful for if we would just count our blessings. I think there's a song along those lines, but it is a good day to be alive, and I thank the Lord for all of his blessings. And that's sort of the theme of the radio broadcast is blessings. So it's good to be here today. I want to say hello to Noah. It's good to have him. We've sort of been just crossing paths lately, and he's been working a lot of overtime, but we're both in here today. So good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners. We appreciate our listeners here. Those who listen in on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in out of Bristol, Virginia on AM 690 WZAP. And those who listen in out of South Dakota.
KPGT.
Yes.
89.1 FM.
I don't have my paper with me today, and it completely slipped my mind.
That's all right.
But we do appreciate those who listen in from out there.
When you forget, I tend to remember, and when I forget, you tend to remember. Yeah. So that's why we need some help. But we do appreciate our listeners. And I want to make an announcement for our local listeners. Now, if you listen into the Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon broadcasts, this will already be in the past. But for our local listeners, I wanted to mention that the Bible Way Baptist Church on George Wilson Road is having their annual tent meeting this week. And so that's July the 12th through the 16th. And every night at 7:30 p.m., Brother Phil Kidd is there preaching. I got to go last night, and it's just a great service and a good message from the Word of God. And so if you have not heard Brother Kidd, he is a real blessing, and I would encourage you to go out. And don't let the weather put you off. The tent, it's a paved parking lot. You can just a short little walk right over into the tent. It's dry, and last night it was raining a little bit, but a nice cool breeze blowing through there. And then it was just a good service, and so we thank the Lord for that. And I want to encourage you to go out if you're looking for a revival service, or if you'd just like to be a part of a tent meeting. Maybe you've never been. You ought to go, and it'll be a blessing to you. So that's every night this week at 7:30 p.m. on George Wilson Road, the Bible Way Baptist Church. Pastor Michael Green is the pastor there, and they would love for you to come out. And so I wanted to mention that and encourage you to come out, and Lord willing, we'll be able to be there tonight, and hopefully again one more time this week after tonight. And so I wanted to mention that. Well, last week, if you remember, we talked a little bit about the poor, and I had just really got started into that. I didn't even really get started good on that subject, but we talked about poverty, the poor, some things the Bible says. I believe as time goes on, we're going to deal more and more with poverty. And even yesterday in the newspaper, it was talking about that in suburban areas. Now, this was in the Winston-Salem Journal on August the 12th. But it was talking about that in suburban areas in North Carolina that poverty was on the rise. Now, I know we hear about the economy this and the economy that, but just common sense speaking, the way our economy's been for the past several years, many people have lost jobs. They've just lost ground financially. You just do not make that up overnight. It is very, very hard to make up when you lose ground financially. So we're going to see a slide. and we may very well never see a slide back in the other direction. So we dealt with poverty. We talked about the forecast of poverty. We talked about the frequency of poverty. Much is said in the Bible about the poor. The Lord Jesus Christ was poor. It says in the Bible that he became poor for our sakes. The Lord Jesus, when somebody wanted to come and follow him, he said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And so he went for a time where he was homeless, according to his own testimony. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And the Bible says about the poor inheriting the earth. And many, many things in the Bible are said about the poor. There's attitudes towards the poor. I talked about that last week. And there are reasons. There are many, many reasons in the Bible that are given for poverty. There's sloth or laziness we read about in the Bible. That brings poverty. Selfishness and greed brings poverty. Proverbs 11:24, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty." So a person's going to hoard up and keep back. Well, the Bible says that that tends to poverty. So if somebody is doing that out of greed, just gimme, gimme, gimme. Rebellion is a reason for poverty. Proverbs 13:18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Poor judgment is a reason for poverty. Proverbs 13:23, the Bible says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." A lot of people could be richer if they took care of just what they had. The Bible says there's much food in the tillage of the poor, but for lack of knowledge, it's destroyed. And so poor judgment, much talk, little work. Proverbs 14:23 is a good verse along those lines. "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth to penury." Just stand around talking, it's not going to get you anywhere. So many reasons. Drunkenness, gluttony. Proverbs 23:21. "Love of pleasure is a reason for poverty." I'm getting my Proverbs and my poverty word mixed up. But Proverbs 21 and verse number 7, verse number 17, the Bible says this, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." So love of pleasure is a reason for poverty. Following vain persons is a reason for poverty. Hastening or just trying to get rich quick is a reason the Bible gives for poverty. We could give Proverbs 28, verse number 19. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." So a lot of who you follow after. How many schemes have people followed after down through the years, and they've ended up losing everything they had? We could talk about the Madoff, and most everybody knows about the get-rich-quick schemes and things along those lines. So that's vain persons. And then trying to get rich quick, Proverbs 28:22, "He that hasteth to be rich," hasteth means get rich quick, "hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." Then persecution is a reason for poverty. We said last week, God's sovereign purposes. You could be poor, and the Lord has made you that way. Or you could be rich, and the Lord's made you that way. 1 Samuel 2:7 said, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up." And then there's disasters. Disasters can come and bring poverty. People can lose everything they had. A hurricane, a tornado, a war, an economy falling. Proverbs 17 and verse number 5, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. So calamities come. And so there are many, many reasons in the Bible. Much is said about poverty, but just like much is said about poverty, much is said about wealth as well. Proverbs 13 in verse number 11, I was reading this morning, the Bible says over there, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. He that gathereth by labor shall increase. And just like we find in the Bible reasons for poverty or being poor, we also find reasons in the Bible for wealth or being rich. And let me just say right there, I'm not talking about baseball player rich. I'm not talking about making $60 million a year hitting a baseball or something like that. I'm just talking about, you know, being rich. I'm talking about having all your needs met. I'm talking about having something in this life. I'm not talking about the Donald Trump type riches, but I'm just talking about having, if you have your needs met and you have food and shelter and clothing and you have other things in life and you are not wanting for anything, you are rich compared to the great majority of people in the world. But you know, if you could choose the option of being one or the other, if you could say, well, I want to be poor or I want to be rich, the truth is we do choose, and our choices in life will greatly influence your quality of life. Now, this is the blessings of liberty. We're talking about blessings. I started out talking about blessings. We're already blessed. I want to say, if you are depending on the government to bless you or to make you wealthy or to find you fulfilling work or labor in this life, if you're dependent on the government to make you healthy, happy, guide you, provide for you, and all of these things, you are going to be sadly and sorely disappointed. The great thing about America and our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution is that we would be free to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have the freedom and the liberty to make your own choices, to make your own bed, we might say. But if you make your own bed, you're going to have to lay in it. Now, the Bible gives us principles and reasons for being poor, but the Bible also gives us principles and reasons for being wealthy or being rich or having something in this life. And if we follow those principles, well, we're laying the foundation in life for having something. Now, last Sunday night at Mount Lebanon, I brought a message and I told our young people, I said, I want you to come back. I wanted to preach a message that would help them have blessings on their blessings. And that's the title. That was the title to the message. And I told them that it was going to be a short message, but I lied. It was just the same length as all the rest of them that I preach. And so some of them said after that, said, you know, they give me a hard time about me saying I was going to preach a short message. Well, I told no. I said, I've got a remedy for that. I'm never going to say I'm going to preach a short message again. I'm just going to preach till I get done. And when I'm done, I'm done. And so I'm not going to put that pressure on myself anymore. But I preach that subject, blessings on your blessings. Try to help our young people make the right choices. And I wanted to share some of those things today. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, and those of you that are regular listeners, you know I'm a great fan and of the book of Proverbs. Much, much instruction. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's what God blesses you with, whether that's money, whether that's things, whatever it is, your substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Every time you have an increase in your life, honor the Lord with it. And verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, if you want to be, and I even sort of feel funny saying this, but if you want to be wealthy, if you want to be rich, if you don't want to be poor, maybe that's a way to put it, but if God gives us the principles in the Bible of the right things to do, then I don't believe it's being selfish to say, that's what I'd rather have. I'd rather have that in my life. If you want blessings on your blessings, you ought to honor the Lord. That's first of all, and that's what it says. Honor the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse number 9. Honor the Lord. You ought to honor the Lord in your finances. You ought to honor the Lord in your future. You ought to honor the Lord in your family. That's a real quick summary of what I preached on Sunday night. But I want to say some things about your finances. You ought to honor the Lord in your finances. And this is what this is talking about. If you're waiting on the government to bless you and make you rich, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to have to be personally responsible with the blessings that God gives you and be a good steward of them. In order to be blessed in your life, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you have plenty, you are rich. And most Americans at least know what it is to have plenty. We are a land of plenty. We are rich compared with most of the other countries in the world. We are rich. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, now you will not learn this in high school. You'll not learn it in college. You'll not hear people talking about it on the job. But I'm just going to give you some advice today that will help you in your life. If you will tithe, if you will honor the Lord with your substance, He will bless you. Now, I learned that as a child. At a very early age, I was taught by my parents and my Sunday school teachers to tithe. Tithe means tenth. So the Sunday school teacher said, if you make a dollar, that means in the offering plate on Sunday, you would give a dime. That's how they illustrated it. And I've tried very, very particularly to follow that in my life ever since I was a child. Now, there's something about this that the world cannot explain. The world cannot explain how a Christian person can be more blessed and prosperous with 90% than with 100%. And we're talking about subtracting the tithe out of our substance. The world can't explain that, but I have heard people testify and say in church over and over and over again how that God blessed them tremendously once they begin to tithe. And the carnal mind, the human mind, doesn't comprehend that. This is a step of faith, and this will increase your faith as well. But our human understanding does not understand, you know, how can I have more? How can I be more blessed if I give 10% right off the top of everything, right off the top of everything that I make? But I'll tell you, God will bless you, and you'll see it won't take you long that He will bless you if you will do this one thing in your life. Malachi 3:10 says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And we talk about that being the church. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. That's the only place in the Bible where God says, prove me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be, I misquoted that a little bit there, but there not be room enough to receive it. And so I had a man try to argue with me one time about tithing. And I just let him know real quick in a very nice way. I said, I don't care if you tithe or not. Personally, it doesn't mean anything to me one way or the other. It doesn't matter. But now I believe what the Word of God says. And God has blessed me. God's blessed my family. And I praise Him for that. So honor the Lord in your finances. Tithe. A second thing the book of Proverbs teaches is concerning the area of debt. If you are interested in biblical wealth, what the Bible has to say about wealth. And you would like to have plenty in this life, not in a selfish way. I want to have plenty so I can be a blessing to somebody else. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I like to give. I mean, I like to receive. That's a blessing. Most people do. But I'd rather give. And so I want to be able to do that in my life. I need to be a good steward over the blessings that God has given me. So I'm going to tithe. And second of all, I'm going to watch this thing of debt. Debt is a wealth killer. Debt is warned about over and over and over again in the Bible. Our founding forefathers warned about debt. Our founding forefathers, like Thomas Jefferson, taught and wrote that we had a moral responsibility to pay off our debt, that every generation ought to pay off its own debt, that it was immoral to do what our country is doing right now and pass along debt to our children. They're born into this world in massive debt. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. And our forefathers taught against that. The Bible teaches against that. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 7, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The greatest enemy that you have to a stable, happy, financially secure future is going out and getting in debt. Debt makes a slave out of you. Debt, if you run in debt all the time, you will never, ever, ever get ahead, because you're in the hole before you start out. Before my wife and I ever had a credit card, and we had been married, I guess I'm going to say 5 or 6 years, maybe even longer than that. But when I was in the Air Force, they had a program down at the post exchange, and if you were in the Army, they call it the BX, but you know, down where the A fees, that's what it was called in the Air Force, Army Air Force something exchange. But anyway, they had a deal down there, delayed payment plan, and you could go down there and you can buy things and pay for it later, like a credit card. But it was a internal thing, DPP. Well, our pastor, he called it the devil's payment plan, and I remember him talking about that and warning people about that. But you know what? I was young and stupid, and boy, I just had to have a new set of Air Force blues, because I was going before boards and competing, and I told my wife, you know, I need this. So I went down there and put about $700 or $900 on a new set of blues, and it took us forever to pay that off. We didn't think we was ever going to get it paid off, and I realized why the pastor called that the devil's payment plan. And debt will kill your wealth. Most people pay no attention to what the Bible says about that. But if you are not in debt, don't go there. If you are in debt, do whatever you can to get out of debt as quickly as you're possible, as you can, as we possibly can, and don't go in debt again. Don't have a credit card. I do not have a credit card now. You can live and function in this life without a credit card. I've traveled, I've flown, I've stayed in motels, I buy my gas. You don't have to have a credit card. But don't put clothes, don't put food, don't put cars, don't do anything. I mean that it is just not an absolute positively an emergency to put on credit. Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." Wouldn't our nation be better off if we would have an attitude of getting out of debt, paying off our debt? Families in America used to save. Families in America now barely have enough to save. They're just about flatlining every month, just paycheck to paycheck. And oh Lord, help us if something happens and we don't get that paycheck. Most people are just living paycheck to paycheck. Once upon a time, it was encouraged to save your money. Well, I need to go on. We talked about tithe. We've talked about debt. We've said a little bit about savings and preparing for the future. Proverbs 24, verse number 27 says over there, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. I've pastored now for right at 20 years. I've seen more young people get in trouble. I've seen more divorces happen over finances than anything else. And a lot of young people get started out so far in debt, and it puts such pressure upon their young home life. I mean, they're making the transition from single to married. They start off with two car payments. They've built a new house. They've got credit cards. They've got a expensive honeymoon and all kinds of stuff. And I'm telling you, you are stacking the odds against you that you're going to make it. The Bible says, prepare in the field first. And after you've done that, then build your house. Then start your family. Then go down that road. And so learn to save money. Learn to put back. Learn to live below what you actually make so you can save some money and so you can have something in this life. These are biblical principles where you can get some blessings on your blessings if you follow what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says a lot about work. Well, that's that four-letter word a lot of people don't like to talk about. But you know, Proverbs 13, verse number 11, we started here today. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Labor, work. You're going to have to work in this life. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit. So we're talking about working, and our time will quickly get gone today, but you're going to have to work in this life, and you're going to have a good attitude, and you're going to have to work hard and be on time and show up and do what you're told and make yourself useful and make yourself valuable at work. And so if you will do those things, the Lord will bless you. But I tell our young people, honor the Lord in everything you do. Don't ever do anything just for money. That is the wrong attitude. Everything you do is a learning experience. Put that in your portfolio. And if you do something and it doesn't work out, just learn something from it. I'm talking about blessings on your blessings. Now, going back to Proverbs chapter number 3, great passage of Scripture. This is that same passage of Scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what? That's what I'm doing in these uncertain economic days. I'm encouraging people, you better learn to put your trust in the Lord, and He'll still bless you, and you still can have something in this life, and you can still have enough to be a blessing to somebody else. But you're going to have to do things the Bible way, not the world's way. I heard a commercial coming over here about, and it said something like, if you've been out of school 10 years and you're still paying on your student loans and your wages are being garnished, and boy, what a bad picture it was painting. Well, that's sadly the way our society is. Well, I hope you have got something out of the radio broadcast today. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd encourage you to go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. There are sermons on there, radio broadcasts on there, church information, and we'd love to hear from you. Noah's going to come give the contact information. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.